Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day out there. Hope you're able to enjoy it. Give us a call at 508-996-0500. The mayor of New Bedford will be here at 11 o'clock. I was listening to Tim this morning as I was getting ready on the way in, talking about something we were talking about yesterday, which is this extension of alcohol serving in Massachusetts. Now you can do it. You can have the bars and restaurants open till 3 a.m. Till 3 a.m. Now, it requires the local government go along with it. So the fact that you can do it is a statewide thing by the legislature, supermajority Democrat legislature, House and Senate, and the very liberal governor, Mara Healey. It's their idea. They enacted it rather quickly, really. Very limited conversation around it. And I think it's part of a broader attempt to overhaul a lot of the alcohol laws that are going on here in the Commonwealth and have been since Prohibition, really. Do you think it's necessary for bars and restaurants to stay open till 3 in the morning? Do you think that'll make us better? Do you think that'll make it better, safer? Maybe those aren't any characteristics of a society that you care about. I happen to. I recognize the more you keep a place open, the more opportunity there are to make money. And I'm all for that. However, what about the costs on society? Giving people an extra hour of drinking time? Particularly when it's not normally done this way, I think can have a lot of unintended negative consequences. Unintended negative consequences. I also think that for a lot of people in the hospitality industry, some places might make more money. Some of the workers, bartenders, waiters, waitresses, they might make a little more money. They might. But it also, and I've talked to a number of these people, and they said, yeah, but what time am I going to get out? What time am I going to get out? And also, by the way, many people in that industry, waiters, waitresses, bartenders, that's a second job for them. They do something else. For whatever reason, they do something else. And it's going to upend their schedule as well. Now, I would imagine that if a bar or a restaurant wants to stay open, they'll have to poll their employees and see if they have the available labor to do it. See how many people want to stick around. And look, when I was in the workforce out there, you know, I don't really consider this a job. It obviously is. They do pay me to be here, and it is work, but it's not like a job. You know, I mean, I've had other jobs, and I was always willing to work overtime, always willing to adjust my schedule if that's what it was necessary. You know, I'm a very, even to this day, my schedule is a little less flexible. But I'm willing to do it, a lot of things, because I'm all for the mission, right? Whatever the team is doing, I'm all for it. But I know not everybody's like that, because I was in management at different points in my life and had to get people to extend their schedule, adjust their schedule. Some people are not interested in doing that at all, regardless of the amount of money they're going to make. But there are a lot of people who are willing to work different hours, work more hours, if it will result in more money. I'm just simply not sure that as I look around here, the places I go to, places I know people go to around here, I'm not sure that a lot of places around here want to stay open till 3 in the morning. I'm really not sure. I heard the chief of police saying this the other night a couple times to the city council in a different context, obviously. He said, and I like the saying, I'm not sure the amount of juice you get is worth the squeeze, right? Is the juice worth the squeeze? Are the results worth the amount of effort you have to put in? Changing the schedule, all of that, to keep the place open till 3 in the morning. I don't know. And I do think we have the infrastructure to limit the negative public safety effects. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe we have enough familiarity with Uber and Lyft. There's a lot of those drivers now. There's a lot of us that use that service. Certainly since the Hugh Dunn episode, we've all learned our lessons to take an Uber, not to drive ourselves. As much as it's funny for talk radio to play bumper cars in downtown New Bedford, it's probably not good for you or the cars. So most of us have learned our lesson and recognize the value that Uber and Lyft and companies like that can play in our life if we involve them. So in terms of drunk driving, I understand it is way down, way, way down from where it used to be, which is good. And I would say that's in part because of the public relations campaign that's gone on for years by Mothers Against Drunk Driving and other groups like that. But also the fact that we have Lyft and Uber that will come pick you up, literally, at a bar, whether it's Rose Alley or wherever, and take you right home or to a girlfriend's house, wherever you want to go, right? You have that available. So I do think in terms of drunk driving, a lot of that, provided the people out at the bars at 3 a.m., till 3 a.m., are willing participants, that can be solved. You don't have to drunk drive, right? But there's always going to be the people that ruin it for everybody else. And again, I'm not sure that all that adjustment is ultimately going to be worth it for, say, New Bedford or Fairhaven and Dartmouth establishments to stay open that much later. I could be totally wrong, because I'm not part of that really nighttime world anymore. But if I was, I'm part of the daytime world, and places like Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford, that's the place I like to go. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. So, are you planning on taking advantage of this? Do you even care about the World Cup? I got to be honest with you, I do not. I saw on Channel 5, Channel 12, they're covering the World Cup. They were covering fans from Norway coming in who were really excited about it. But they're also remarking on how they feel, my words, not there, they're getting scalped by the prices of the MBTA. This guy from Norway was saying, well, we were all told by our travel agents not to use our automobiles, not to try to rent the car in Massachusetts, but to use the MBTA, the train rail, to get from our hotel to the stadium. But those tickets are really, really expensive. So we'll see if they if they want to come back after the scalping they got here at the World Cup. I don't care about soccer. I wouldn't imagine many of you do, but some of you do. I have heard people in the past talk about it. It's just not a game for me. Knowledge is power for Bristol County seniors. Please join us at the Bristol County Celebration of Seniors at Whites of Westport on June 12th from 9 a.m. till noon. I'll be broadcasting live. Stop by and say hello. Seniors are invited to enjoy a free breakfast and a resource fair with remarkable speakers, amazing giveaways, and important information. This special free event is presented by Bristol County District Attorney Tom Quinn and Coastline Elderly Services. A special thank you to our platinum sponsors, Anodyne and Eternal Health, gold sponsors, AARP Massachusetts, Bristol Elder Services, Mechanics Cooperative Bank, keeping it local, Senior Medicare Patrol, United Healthcare Community Plan. For questions, answers, and RSVP, please call Brian Rose at the District Attorney's Office. His phone number, 508-961-1972. Again, that's 508-961-1972. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
From Jim Morrison, keep your eyes on the road and your hands upon the wheel. We'll have the mayor of New Bedford here in the next hour answering your simple and tough questions, as he always does. If you're able to get through, 508-996-0500. We all know about, or we've heard about, fraud within our support network, the incredible support network that we have in this country for people less fortunate. We have an incredible system to help people in a variety of ways across all spectrums. We do. We have that because we have a capitalist society and people pay taxes. Those taxes are then used to help other people, right? That's what happens. However, you cannot have open borders and a social safety net. You really can't. Economists have pointed to that. You cannot have an open border and a social safety net, because eventually, and it really doesn't even take that long, you get a lot of people who observe the lax border and they go right across it, right? They go right across the lax border and they begin to take advantage of the social safety net of the taxpayers, of which they are not. Right? They never paid into the system, but they're happy to use it. And by the way, you have politicians that recognize these are potential voters, even if it's illegal voting, and certainly future voters with a change of the law. So you have politicians and their minions within state and federal government who therefore overlook the safeguards that are put in place to preserve the social safety net, the financial wherewithal of the social safety net. Okay? And that's medical, cash stipends, food stipends, all of that. Without an open border, that cannot exist. Not for long. So you're seeing that, all right? And we have seen that. We certainly have. Look, I have literally seen illegal aliens. I know they're illegal aliens because they've been deported now. Getting kidney dialysis. thanks to the good journalism at the New Bedford Light. Although they gave the illegal alien a fake name, which is remarkable, really. I know the illegal alien's real name. Doesn't matter because he's not here anymore. But someone at kidney dialysis right here in Fairhaven was an illegal alien. It's at least one of them was an illegal. It's probably more. Was an illegal alien. Not only that, he was on the transplant list. He's back in his third world hellhole now. He's out of here. But literally, they were getting it. It was all being paid through the state of Massachusetts. Okay? Listen, I don't know what kind of work that guy possibly could have been doing. I work here on the radio, and I'm exhausted. I know he didn't have a radio job. I'm told he had maybe another job doing some physical labor. I don't know how in the world he could do it, although he was a young guy, and do dialysis. It's really, really physically draining. My point being is he wasn't paying for any of it. You were, the federal government was, and it was being conducted by state bureaucrats who were avoiding and getting around the guidelines that are built to preserve the social safety net that with an open border you cannot have. And without politicians and their minions in the bureaucracy upholding the standards to prevent freeloaders from foreign countries from coming in and jumping into the social safety net. And economists have pointed this out. Open borders, unscrupulous politicians looking for future benefits in the form of votes from people they'll allow to get under the system. I mean, it's all been played out by economists, have mapped it all out for you, but we're witnessing it. There was a hearing on the federal level about Minnesota, but it's happening here in Massachusetts as well. I'm going to play a little news clip regarding what's been going on in Minnesota. I think it's very important, but recognize it's also going on here in Massachusetts.
The U.S. House Oversight Committee just released a scathing report blaming Governor Tim Walz and Attorney General Keith Ellison for what they call a fraud explosion in Minnesota.
The report comes after Walz and Ellison each appeared before the committee in Washington. Chief political reporter Tom Hauser was in Washington for those hearings and joins us now with details of the report. Tom.
Yeah, most of what is in this 205-page report we have reported before, but this report from the Republican-controlled Oversight Committee provides a comprehensive timeline and account of when the committee says Democrats, Walz and Ellison, knew about fraud and what they did or didn't do about it.
Why didn't you just tell the truth about the Feeding Our Future program?
Governor Tim Walz faced a barrage of questions at a House oversight hearing in March.
Chairman, we did tell you. And Feeding Our Future grew because of the pandemic.
Attorney General Keith Ellison also faced the committee.
Mr. Ellison, my concern is that you actively obstructed this investigation.
Now, this report from the committee accuses Ellison and Walz of fueling Minnesota's fraud explosion. Governor Walz and Attorney General Ellison were aware of widespread fraud in federally funded social services programs for years, the report says, but repeatedly failed to act. Much of the report focuses on the $250 million Feeding Our Future fraud. The report says the Department of Education, quote, continued payments even after identifying serious program deficiencies and allowed hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars to continue going to fraudsters for another 8 months. A spokesperson for Walz criticized the Republican-controlled Oversight Committee report, saying, "This committee has proven time and time again to be nothing more than a joke. They continue to rehash COVID-era fraud to distract from endless wars, gas prices, ICE, and the president's insider trading." Ellison says the report is riddled with inaccuracies and misrepresentations. and told me in a radio interview the committee is politically motivated.
We're not engaged in a political process the way that committee is. We're more focused on getting to answers, not trying to assign blame for the purposes of an election.
Now, this report also covers fraud ranging from child care to autism to housing. The committee interviewed many witnesses, including the governor's former chief of staff, who the report says responded 260 times, quote, he did not know or did not recall in response to questions. We have the full report for you to read at KSTP.com. Kevin.
So I think that's really instructive, right? Where did all these billions of dollars go? Where did all these billions of dollars go? And Tim Walz, remember Tim Walz? He says endless wars. Remember he lied about going to war? Literally stood in front of a group of people and said, the weapons I carried in war. He had an honorable service in the reserves. He, like me, was never in a war. And you know whether you went to war or you didn't go to war. It's not a slip of the tongue. It's a lie. It's a lie. Tim Walz will lie about anything to get ahead in politics. The guy is a proven liar. Lying about being a combat veteran is nothing more despicable. Literally, that's criminal. It's called stolen valor. It's criminal. Keith Ellison, he's a piece of work too, as well. But the point is, if you have open borders, you cannot have a social safety net. Because you cannot, at a state and federal level, supply enough money to support all the problems of the world, which is literally what our current governor and the supermajority Democrat legislature literally did. They said, if you're anywhere in the world and you can somehow make it to Massachusetts, the taxpayers of Massachusetts will take over responsibility for your entire life. Literally, will cover your birth, will educate you, will clothe you, will feed you, all of that. If you live anywhere in the world and you can get to Massachusetts, the supermajority Democrat legislature will take Massachusetts and federal tax money and use it in some bizarre foreign policy where they import the third world to places like Fairhaven, Dartmouth, Plymouth, Somerset. It's bizarre. Really, really bizarre. Yet, you wonder where the money is. Why isn't there more local aid? Why did Fairhaven have to go to a Proposition 2.5 override, which failed? So you're going to lose local government services. Why is New Bedford having to cut a fire station? A busy fire station. Well, we know this. There was plenty of money. It's because, as we've heard over and over again, budgets are about priorities. Budgets are about priorities. And the priority for Governor Healey, and you've heard it from state representatives when they've come in here, is to support future Americans, currently illegal aliens and other foreigners who've made it into Massachusetts. There's an article in the New Bedford Light, I've referenced it a couple times, about somebody from the Bianco raid. Remember the Bianco raid? In the south end of New Bedford is a textile factory. It had a government contract making military web gear. Okay? The veterans out there, the prior service guys, they know what I mean by web gear. It's part of the uniform for the field, all right? And for the military. One of the illegal aliens who was, this was when George W. Bush was the president. Deval Patrick was the governor. It was like two generations ago, maybe. They're still in the country. An illegal alien who was working illegally with a fake ID in all likelihood in the Bianco factory in the south end of New Bedford. New Bedford Light, again, I think they do marvelous work, even if I don't always agree with them, bringing facts to the table, particularly on illegal immigration or migration. There's an article. There is somebody still in the country. How are they supporting themselves? What is going on? I thought I voted for Trump to get rid of these people. Is it moving too slow? I think it's moving too slow. I really do. It just boggles my mind. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
Did you see an article on the New Bedford Guide or maybe or the Light or someplace where the state has audited construction work that was done on the Bragger Bridge in Fall River, and they said that they spent $4,800 per road cone to pour north while they were working on the bridge. Did you read anything about that?
I saw it on New Bedford Guide, had that article, which is also Fall River Reporter. You know, they have another site too called Fall River Reporter. So, but I did see it about the Bragger Bridge. Yeah, what did you think?
Well, I only glanced quickly at it. You know, you talk about my taxes are going to go up, and the people of the good people of Fay Haven who voted down the Prop 2.5 override, and if the critics wonder why we're doing this, we're not going to give an inch of new taxes. It's because the fraud that's going on, the lack of accountability when it comes to the audit. You can go through a whole bunch of news stories about the waste and fraud here in Massachusetts. And there's no way I want to give these money-hungry politicians. I'm sorry, steered off there for a minute. These money-hungry politicians any more cash to waste or throw away. And that Bragger Bridge story, which I did not read, I read it very quickly and probably may have missed a few things, but I'll tell you, the waste in this state is probably unmeasurable. I bet behind Minnesota, I bet we're in the top five wasted states. California's probably the worst, and we're not even into California yet. So, it's amazing.
So it is amazing. I saw that story in New Bedford Guide. I didn't memorize it, but it was revealing to show how much those individual cones cost. Now, I'm going to guess that it was labor, the transportation of the cones, all of that. It's not just the individual cones. That would be ridiculous. But it might be. I'm guessing it's the labor to put them down on the Bragger Bridge, pick them up afterwards, the trucks, all of that involved, that ultimately they broke the cost down by cone.
That still sounds outrageous.
Oh, it's an outrageous amount of money. Totally.
Yeah. Well, they say a mile of road for repair in Massachusetts is the most expensive mile of road to fix in the country. And it probably has a lot to do with police details, too. You can't not talk about that as well. But, this state's just utterly corrupt. I'm not going to give it another dime. Not another dime. I'll fight them all the way. So with that, Chris, hey, you have a good day.
You too, my friend.
Thank you for taking my call.
You too, my friend. 508-996-0500. Look, I think a lot of people feel that same way. We observe it all the time. What we believe to be fraud, waste, abuse. Look, out of a deference to HIPAA, I don't mention a lot of the things I observe as I travel through the medical world, right? I mean, I know doctors, nurses, staff at medical facilities have to observe HIPAA. But I also think patients do, to a degree, have to observe it as well. And, but I got to tell you something. I believe I observe a lot of, and this is not the fault of the medical people so much as the people funding it. I think I observe a lot of fraud, foreigners accessing our very supportive healthcare system here in Massachusetts. Now, I think I observe a lot of that. I don't know for sure because I'm not in that position, But, you know, you can kind of tell who's a native born or a even naturalized citizen, rather somebody who's made the process. Generally, they have to read and write English to become a citizen. Whether they choose to use it or not, that's their own business, I guess. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I can't complain. Hey, I was having a discussion with someone at work, and I told them that Maura Healey spent $3 billion on illegal immigrants, and she called her friend at the Attorney General's office, and she's saying absolutely not. What is the truth on that? Do you know?
I don't think anybody knows, but I can tell you that Diana DeSaglio, a Democrat, the state auditor, audited, as an example, the Healey hotels, the migrant hotels, and the audit is amazing. Details all kinds of law breaking, rule breaking, and overspending. Oh no! I would guess when the final accounting is done, it'll be closer to $5 billion.
Wow! But nobody. Nobody knows. They're claiming right now that it never happened, that she never spent that money.
It's amazing.
Know? Yeah, and I'm just saying, you know, you got to be kidding me. I mean, we had 355,000 illegal immigrants come here that were invited to come here, and she put them all up in housing, all this stuff, and now they're claiming it's like it's our imagination. Right. That never happened.
It is. They're going to deny it, and make you look like a crazy person for even thinking it when we observed it all around us. I watched the motel here in Fairhaven full up with illegal aliens. Dartmouth, two of them full up with illegal aliens. Somerset, full up with illegal aliens. I mean, Rockland. Oh, it was unbelievable how many there were.
Yeah, and you know, we saw them all over the airports. Then we heard that the state police had to deliver them pizza and things like this. And now it's like, no, that never happened.
It's wild, right?
Yeah. That's why I was, you know, because she was saying, oh, what proof do you have? And I'm saying, well, I know there had to be articles in some of the, you know, newspapers or what have you, right? The Globe or something like that, right?
Listen, I had a Democrat state rep, Chris Hendricks, he's a friend of mine, he's very supportive of the illegal aliens, was saying to me, we had to do it, otherwise they would have been all over the streets panhandling. That's a guy who supports the program saying they had to do it, otherwise we would have been awash in illegal aliens sleeping on the streets, panhandling, I would assume breaking into houses, if they didn't feed them and clothe them and house them. That's a state representative Democrat of the most liberal kind telling me without giving me a number that we had to do it. That's how many there were.
Well, yeah, but I mean, why couldn't we just deport them?
Well, that's what I said.
You know?
But that's what I said.
Yeah.
But my point being is that, thanks for the call. My point being is that if you listen closely, they'll admit to it without giving you a number by defending themselves as virtuous, right? Guys, there is nothing better this time of year than knowing you have a full tank of propane for that grill, right? Full tank of propane for the grill. It's really peace of mind. You don't want to run out. You don't want to be that guy, right? Invites everybody over for burgers and then your grill runs out. And what about your air conditioning, right? You don't want to, nothing better than a running, fully working, soundproof air conditioner. That's why I recommend my friends at Columbus Energies. Build a relationship with Columbus Energies now. Go to columbusenergies.com. They have all kinds of answers for all kinds of questions. Maybe a quick summer tune-up for your AC will keep it running cooler, quieter, and longer. Is your AC making strange noises or struggling to keep up? Well, give Columbus Energies a call before we get too deep into the heat. Build a relationship today with Columbus Energies. They're just a phone call away or a website trip away. You can do it all right from your living room. Are you thinking about upgrading your AC system, your air conditioner? Columbus Energies installs systems that are sized correctly for your home by expert technicians who leave your home as clean as they came in, right? Need a grill tank refill? Stop by Columbus Energies to refill your tank or talk with Columbus Energies about becoming an automatic propane delivery customer. Put it in the back of your mind. Become an automatic propane delivery customer for Columbus Energies. Family owned since 1960. Same standards, same commitment to doing the job right. That's the Columbus way. No pressure, just information. That's how Columbus Energies likes to do business. I see all you people on hold. I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Because the topless boss never saw a woman so alone, so alone, so alone, so alone. Motel money.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. That's The Doors. We'll have the mayor of New Bedford here in the 11 o'clock hour taking your phone calls. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
Quickly, I was just thinking the Terminal E with the free pizza delivery. I don't know if that's still the F troop, the state troopers, but I think they might have been dissolved. But that was probably a pretty good detail. You know, it was probably overtime. They probably got some free pizza out of the deal, too. You know?
But, I mean, it's just so gross, right? Think about the fact that these are illegal aliens invited into the country by our governor at the border. Tom Hodgins on one side, she's on the other side, telling them to break into America. And then she's raiding the coffers along with the legislature to supply them with everything from hotel rooms to Uber rides to state police to provide them pizza. How could she possibly get elected?
I it's beyond me, but I think the modern Democrat Party, whether they want to call themselves the Democrat Socialist of America, they really are socialists now, the modern part. And, you know, the goal really is to get the highest percentage of the population, the most dependent upon the government. And then the government, you know, is going to be the ruling class. And it's pretty painfully obvious they've made a lot of progress in doing it. You consider even the average person is really looking at a lot of state services where they never used to. And for the newcomers, the new votes, they're completely dependent upon state services, government services. And I guess this last point, Chris, how disgusting is it that the Skid Row vote in Los Angeles might have tipped the mayoral primary in Los Angeles, when these folks that they harvested the ballots of, you know, in most cases probably didn't even know that it was a Tuesday, let alone who the candidates were.
Thank you for the call. Thanks for the contribution to the program. Guys, I have an article here from the New York Post. Check it out its entirety yourself. New York Post is available online for free. You can buy a paper copy around too as well. The headline is Socialist Red Rabbits. Red Rabbits are training for a national uprising against cops. That's the headline in this New York Post article. So it's a product of the Manhattan Institute. City Journal is a Manhattan Institute publication. That's where this article originally was published, City Journal. As its national influence has risen, the Democratic Socialists of America has simultaneously grown more extreme. Nowhere is this more apparent than in the group's Red Rabbits initiative. Right? Red Rabbits. The Red Rabbits Security Commission, a subgroup within the Democratic Socialists of America focused on community defense efforts, is, according to its authorizing resolution, preparing for a national uprising against federal agents and police brutality. Okay? In practice, this means training cadres in tactics like armed and unarmed self-defense, blocking intersections, and fighting, quote, fascists with umbrellas. A recent panel offered an unprecedented window into the project and what it looks like. Organizers from Minnesota, Oklahoma City, remember the big bombing there? Philadelphia, Tucson, Austin, and Portland compared notes. As the discussion made clear, the Democratic Socialists of America is trying to construct a nationwide security apparatus to support its expanding role in street protests and direct action organizing. Direct action often means violence, okay? In doing so, it fears it's drawing the attention of the IRS. See, these are nonprofits. And the government doesn't give you a tax break if you donate to organizations that use violent methods to change society. So they're worried about their IRS filings. Very interesting. The Democratic Socialists of America, by the way, a Democratic Socialist is what the very troubled candidate in Maine, the Democrat nominee who won yesterday, right? The guy with the formerly had a Nazi tattoo for like a dozen years on his body, fantasized about masturbating in porta potties. He's on a very interesting app for children. He's a really strange guy, Platina. But he got the endorsement of Ed Markey, Elizabeth Warren, and he was at a table soliciting volunteers at the Massachusetts State Democrat Party. Okay? So he's one of these Democrat socialists. Oh, and by the way, he wished the Taliban had killed one of the American soldiers that they merely wounded, if I understand the story correctly. This guy, Platner, very troubled. Now, he was in the Marine Corps, and he served in combat. Some people are using that as an excuse. I was never in combat. I got to tell you, I know a lot of people that were. I don't know any of them that has a Nazi tattoo. Quite frankly, I had an uncle who was in World War II, and he was very proud of having killed Nazis. My great uncle Billy, we had a Nazi dagger that he took off one of them. My father had cufflinks and things like that that my uncle Billy had took off from the Nazis. He was very proud of it. He didn't go to combat, come home and get a Nazi tattoo. That's not what American soldiers, sailors, Air Force, and Marines normally do, right? But anyway, the now likely member of the Senate on the Democrat side, Graham Platner. That's what you Democrats are doing now. Anyway, stick around. We'll have some local talk with the mayor of New Bedford. Should be very interesting. Always is. He'll tell us what's happening. Maybe we'll get him to...